You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Britain is no longer perhaps so unique as being the bridge and the transatlantic relationship between the United States and the rest of Europe.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news. This week, the U.S. and the U.K., a special relationship. In Washington for his first visit, British Prime Minister David Cameron met with President Obama for talks on the BP oil spill, Afghanistan, Iraq, and the global economic crisis. Observers say the once mighty alliance between Washington and London may be losing some of its luster. Fiona Hill directs the Center on the United States and Europe. She says multiple challenges could stress the special relationship between the two countries.
That whole term, the special relationship, everybody dates this back to Winston Churchill, although there may have been some other references to this idea of a special relationship before. So it's really going back to the World War II era when we were the great partners and allies in the transatlantic response to World War II, Nazi Germany, and to the rollback of the German forces across Europe. In many respects, that was really the high point of the U.S.-British relationship and being seen shoulder to shoulder in dealing with a major problem challenging world security, the transatlantic order, the fate of Europe.
Well, is it time for a new special relationship? Observers say that it's time for the United States and the United Kingdom both to look beyond this relationship, perhaps to, for the United States, to the European Union, to the Far East, to South America.
Britain may become more subsumed from the U.S. point of view in the European Union overall. Now, we know that Britain is somewhat particularly over the last several decades, but also particularly with the personage of David Cameron, always somewhat skeptical of the European Union. But the United States has made a decision for itself over the last several years, and especially since the passage of the Lisbon Treaty, which is creating a new foreign policy perspective for the European Union, that it wants to put more emphasis on its relations with the EU and with Brussels, and really perhaps downplay somewhat the bilateral relationships.
On the issue of Afghanistan, both countries are deeply invested and vested. What is the future of this issue?
There's a lot more pressure inside the UK for the troops to be withdrawn along the kind of timetable that was outlined with the 2011 discussions here in the United States. Of course, on the US side, that was more of a target that was given for the decisions to really draw down. We've had a lot of debate, a lot of confusion over what exactly that 2011 date means. Obviously, from the United States point of view, they would like to keep the British presence and support there. They would like to keep the NATO coalition together. And if the UK withdraws, or even draws down to such a significant level that there's very little UK presence, then obviously that affects the whole image and sustainability of the NATO effort there.
What about terrorism and intelligence?
The UK is still very important from the intelligence perspective. We still share a lot of information with the UK and the US, and you still have people with dual citizenship like myself, for example, and my predecessor at the National Intelligence Council, where we were the special relationship at work. We were dual US-British nationals working for the US government on intelligence issues, and we were also a bridge to counterparts in the United Kingdom. And that relationship remains specifically on the counterterrorism perspective because of the shared interests and some of the same problems that the United States and the United Kingdom have in Pakistan and Afghanistan.
How do the G8 and the G20 talks play into the relationship between the United States and the United Kingdom?
The age of Britain playing a very significant role in the economic relationships of the G8 and the G20 is also coming to an end. Britain won't be able to dominate in the way that it has before. And this particular government, the new government with Cameron and others, don't have the same base as the last Labour government did, with Gordon Brown being very much sort of seen as one of the gurus of international finance and of the economy, having been Chancellor of the Exchequer and having a lot of heavyweights in his entourage on economic and on economic issues. But when we start thinking about the G20, it's really going to be the rising powers or the European Union as a whole. Because if you take the European Union as a collective, it's still one of the dominant economies.
And what lies ahead for the relationship between these two countries?
So I think that what they'll be looking for here is to how to put the overall US and British relationship on a more businesslike, a more pragmatic, and a 21st century footing, rather than looking back to the 19th or the 20th or the kind of the great points in history, and to really thinking about how a British and US partnership and in a larger context, both within Europe and the transatlantic relationship, and even more broadly, can really serve the national interests of both countries.
Thank you for joining us, Fiona.
Thank you so much, Gigi. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Gigi Hinton. We'll see you again next week at Brookings.
At Brookings is produced by the Brookings Institution. To learn more about the issues discussed on At Brookings, visit our website at brookings.edu.